Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
We had to pretend to be buyers of these parts. And so some would say, well, you're lying.
I think that undercover work is actually fundamentally different from lying, because the purpose of undercover work is actually to serve the truth.
Coming out does not require as much courage as is required by a person who says, you know, I feel same-sex attraction, but what I want to do is not act on it. What I want to do is live up to my church's teaching.
All I know is that I'm died for by Jesus. I'm baptized and I'm forgiven, and God, I am the possessor of God's promises and His kingdom and His Spirit and His life, and that is who I am. So I don't have to love myself. Jesus loves me.
Wisconsin snowplow drivers love Issues, etc.
There are a few names in pop American Christianity, and this one isn't just a name in pop American Christianity, this is pop global Christianity. A few names that resonate with the same kind of gravity. Maybe you've got some Joel Osteens out there where everywhere in the world someone's going to know that name. They're going to know about Lakewood in Houston, Texas. Maybe some other churches out there, but the one that probably dwarfs them all is Hillsong, with its very charismatic leader, visionary pastor, I don't know what he thinks of himself as nowadays, Brian Houston. Now, they lead the way when it comes to music, when it comes to worship, when it comes to theology and practice and all that for many, many, many churches, not just those that fly under the Hillsong banner. We're going to be talking about some recent admissions from Brian Houston of Hillsong. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. In addition to Brian Houston's recent admissions, we'll also talk about a church that is being held in a strip club. It's an interesting venue for a church. We'll see about that. And then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That's a little game we like to play with our listeners at the end of the broadcast week. We'll play four sound bites for you. You listen. And then all you have to do is give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And vote for one of those four sound bites to be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week that's coming up in the last half hour of the program. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity, Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
So let's play a little word association. I say Hillsong, you say what?
Music media empire.
All right. That doesn't say church, though, does it?
I'm hard-pressed to think of them as a church.
Why is that?
Well, the reason why is because Lutheran confessions, I think, do a very good job of helping us look for the marks of a church. I mean, where does the church gather? Well, we're looking for particular things. We're looking for the gospel preached correctly. We're looking for the sacraments, the baptism and the Lord's Supper administered in accordance with the gospel. I mean, these are two of the marks of the church. And when it comes to Brian Houston and Hillsong, despite the fact that they have a weekly performance that's well attended by tens of thousands, actually more than 100,000 people worldwide, I don't see the marks of a church. I don't hear the gospel preached properly, and I don't see the sacraments administered in accordance with the gospel. Therefore, because the marks of the church are missing, despite the fact they call themselves a church, I can't agree with their claim that they are a church.
All right. And what of Brian Houston, who is, do I call, if it's not a church, can you in good conscience call him a pastor?
That's another great question, and one of the things I've gotten in the habit of is I refer to men like Brian Houston as vision-casting leaders rather than pastors. You know, a pastor is a man who's been placed into an office. It's an office established by Christ, and a pastor has very specific duties that go along with his office. So he's a servant of the word of Christ. He is to preach the word in season and out of season. He's to rightly divide the word of God. He is to forgive sins. He is to administer the sacraments, and these are the things that he is doing within his office. There are particular duties that go along with the office. But somebody like a Brian Houston, and there's other men like him, Rick Warren, Bill Hybels, Perry Noble, Stephen Furtick, and many, many others. These are men who the things that they are doing do not even remotely reflect the duties of the pastoral office, and the authority that they're exercising is not authority given to them within the pastoral office. It looks and feels and sounds more like the type of authority and duties that you would see in Fortune 500 companies by CEOs and corporate executives. But to confuse a corporate executive with a pastor, I think is a very serious error, and we ought not consider those who have adopted, well, let's just say, authority that they do not have, and are dispensing duties that are not listed in Scripture as men who are exercising the authority of the pastoral office.
Finally, before we hear from Brian Houston and what he's had to say lately, just for our listeners who may have only kind of heard, oh, Hillsong, that's the Christian music company or something like that. Brian Houston, yeah, I think it's that that kind of Australian-sounding guy out there who I think he's somehow associated with it. How influential, how would you gauge the influence of Hillsong and of Brian Houston?
Well, if you were to say that the least influential church on a scale of 1 to 10 had a 1, and the most influential church as far as impact globally was on a 10, I would say Hillsong is somewhere like a 12 or a 13. That's how influential they are, and their influence and their power is growing exponentially. Many, many people think that Hillsong has taken over where Saddleback and Bill Hybels and Willow Creek have left off, and there's really no end to the growth and their influence on the church as a whole around the world at this point. It really just seems to there's nothing stopping them in that sense.
Is it safe to say that it's not just influenced by way of their music becomes the playlist for Sunday morning for countless? I mean, we're talking now thousands of churches across the world, if not tens of thousands.
It's hundreds of thousands, and yes, Hillsong songs are the songs being sung by people week in and week out across the globe.
But is it also, in addition to that, which could just be, well, you know, they make great music or something like that, their view of, like you've just talked about, their view of what a church ought to be or what a pastor ought to be, is that part of their influence too?
Absolutely, absolutely, and the best way to put it is there is an entire army of young up and coming men who want to be vision casting leaders and be as successful, influential, and monetarily flush as Hillsong and Hillsong pastors are, and as a result of it, it's as if Brian Houston and Carl Lentz and the other pastors of Hillsong, they can do no wrong, and they are the standard that everybody's shooting for.
So we're going to hear from Brian Houston. Give us a little what should we be listening for kind of a introduction.
Yes, we're going to be listening to an interview that Brian Houston recently did with Graham Richardson on Sky News in Australia. And the front end of that interview was all about their methodology and their church and what it is that makes them successful. That's the part that we will focus on. The rest of the interview focused on the scandal pertaining to Brian Houston's father, but we will not actually get to any of that today. But as it pertains to his ideas about how church should be and what church is about, I think this was rather fascinating on his part, and he makes a very interesting confession in Soundbite 2 that we'll get to.
How many people come to your church every Sunday? Your church is?
Here in Australia, 34,000 each weekend, and roughly 100,000 around the world.
But you don't actually have churches, do you? You tend not to be in churches.
Well, we build churches, our church buildings, as we can. But they're not like churches that I know.
They don't look like a church.
Well, they all look different, but yeah, maybe you could call them modern-day cathedrals.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't look like your average Catholic church, but they're churches. They've got crosses on them.
Now, Ross Cameron who, of course, is a former parliamentarian and a contributor here on Sky News, made a good point to me. He said his wife and kids were going to the little local Anglican church on a Sunday, and in the middle of winter, it's freezing cold, the acoustics are terrible, you can't hear a thing, it's just an awful experience. But you go to a Hillsong and it's vastly different, isn't it?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think church should be enjoyed, not endured. It can be one very long hour, or it can be a great celebration, sense of family, sense of community. So to us, the message is timeless. We're fairly conservative in our belief and in our doctrine and so on, but the methods, I think, in the 21st century have to change.
So what was Brian Houston saying there, Chris?
Well, he's making the claim that a lot of people have been making over the past few decades, and that is that the message can't change, but the methods must change. If we want to be relevant, if we want to reach a dying world with the gospel, then the methods by which the church has done that has to change. You can't have a boring church service where people sing hymns and the pastor wears a robe and you know, there's sacred things going on and basically it's an hour that has to be endured. No, if we're going to reach the world for Jesus, the church has got to pull itself into the 21st century and meet religious consumers where they're at. Otherwise, the church is going to die. The problem is this, is that there isn't a single pagan in your neighborhood or in mine that isn't in church on any given Sunday because the church isn't relevant. The reason why they're not at church is because they are pagans. They are dead in trespasses and sins, and they're at war with God. And it is only through the means of grace, through the preaching of the gospel, that God takes people who are dead in trespasses and sins and raises them to new life in Christ. And so if you really wanted to be very critical here, what Brian Houston is ascribing to the methods that he does to use church, he thinks that they're somehow sacramental, that they somehow have a power in and of themselves by the Holy Spirit, by which the Holy Spirit then, you know, gives new life to people. So we can talk about sacramental smoke machines. We can talk about sacramental laser light shows and things like that. But the reality is that the method by which God has always made people into Christians is through the Word of God and not through smoke machines or even, you know, hymns and things like that. So we've got a major problem with what he's saying, and so many people buy what Brian Houston is saying and believe this without actually biblically examining the statements that he's making to see if it's actually what God's Word says.
What's next here from Brian Houston?
Well, then the next part of the interview, Brian Houston is going to say something very important at the end of the soundbite that I think kind of shows that Brian Houston, as a CEO and vision casting leader, has lost touch with his Bible. And I think this is an important thing that he says.
And I discover from your own people, so it's not an outside accusation, it's an inside statement, even boast, but 16 million albums a year. Now that makes you the biggest musical deal in this country. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, it's amazing what's happened. And it really is a miracle to me how that, you know, we started just writing songs for our own church 30 years ago. And now it's every continent, every part, you know, pretty well every language you can imagine. And the songs are sung by, I think, literally hundreds of thousands of people every week.
Yeah, obviously. And I mean, I think, you know, the, The pop stars would love to have numbers like yours. It's quite phenomenal. And you've got 34,000, you say, coming every week.
Here in Australia.
Here in Australia. So, yes. But they wouldn't be the same 34,000. One would imagine that means you've got more followers than that.
Yeah, there would be. Our database is huge, but we kind of don't count that. We keep it up to date as much as we can, but actual attendance, bums on seats from Friday night to Sunday is about 34,000.
See, it's pretty good because church numbers in Australia have been declining, as we're all aware, for a long time, and attendances on Sundays are down about 8%, I think, according to the ABS. It's pretty low, or even closer to 7, some might say, and dropping. Yeah. But your numbers keep going up. Are you taking them all out of the other 7%, or do you get new people?
Well, we do get a lot of new people. But, you know, Richie, I really believe that there's more of a spiritual hunger in Australians than a lot of people realise. I know the statistics are full of negativity about the church and decline, but I think when, you know, genuinely people can scratch where people are itching, the message itself's fantastic.
All right, that was kind of pretty nondescript until we got to the very end there. What did Brian Houston say?
Brian Houston literally described what is happening at Hillsong as scratching where people are itching. That is a fascinating statement. And there's a reason why it's fascinating, is because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul actually prophesied of like times like ours. And here's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who's going to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in kingdom, to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and doctrine. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. In other words, Brian Houston, in saying that what Hillsong is doing is scratching where people are itching, he thinks that's a positive thing, and he is basically saying this is the reason why they're successful. But this is a phrase out of Scripture, and one that we are to look at as something that we're to avoid as Christians, and pastors should never strive to do. Instead, we need to preach the word in season and out of season. But Brian Houston is saying, hey, we scratch itching ears. That's why we're growing. That's not a positive thing. That's an actually very bad thing according to Scripture.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We'll take a break. We're doing This Week in Pop American Christianity. When we come back, we've heard from Brian Houston, the Hillsong vision and casting leader. When we come back, something, well, just as dangerous, maybe. Church in a strip club. How does that happen? Chris will tell us how as we continue This Week in Pop American Christianity.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Oh, morning star, Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
You know, people can say, well, it doesn't have memory, it doesn't have consciousness, it doesn't have intelligence. But what it has is the will to live. And that is what you're taking away. You're taking away the only thing that unborn human being has.
The catechism is not Luther's. It's the church's Catholic catechism. Catholic is in the sense of the universal faith.
God in his giving makes us into givers like himself. He ennobles us by making us servants to others because that's what he does and who he is.
I respect a lot more a Roman Catholic that comes up to me and says, you're wrong, than some mealy-mouthed Lutheran that says, hey, tomato, tomato, it doesn't matter, let's all get together.
In about 15 minutes, we're going to be playing the entirety of those four sound bites for you. That's just a taste of them. We'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play those four sound bites, and then you get to vote by giving us a call, sending us an email, sending us a tweet, or going to our Facebook fan page. Your votes will determine which of those will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week live this Friday afternoon, the 29th of January. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. In the meantime, Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. And we're turning to a subject that sounds, well, it probably would have sounded at any time, maybe up until about 10 years ago, an impossibility, church in a strip club. And we're about to hear something about that. What are we going to listen to here, Chris?
Well, the first segment that we'll listen to, it sets it up. The lady, Sharon Ninnebar, claims to be the pastor of this church in the strip club, it talks about the fact that that they're actually in a practicing strip club. The interview is with 100 Huntley, the website, and so I think we'll set this up with the first soundbite so that we can then talk about where she got the idea to do this.
Well, one of the things I love about church is that it takes every form and style of worship you could ever imagine for every person's comfort zone and faith, and we need that. And you can also find them in an incredible variety of venues, church buildings, strip malls, schools, movie theaters, even huts in Africa, one of my personal favorite ways to worship. But today I'm pretty sure I'm going to introduce you to a venue you have never heard of. We'll be hearing about the Church at the Manor in Guelph, Ontario, that meets in a strip club. Sharon Nimmer is one of the founders and its pastors. So I have done stories in the past about churches that buy a strip club that went out of business and redeemed the space and they use it as a church. You meet in a currently functioning strip club.
Yes.
Like literally until 3 or 4 in the morning before you meet on Sunday morning, there was a strip club there.
Yeah. Typically the dancers might be there or people cleaning up till on a Saturday, like, or early Sunday morning, 3 or 4 a.m. And then we come about 11 a.m. We always, there's a free lunch that we bring with us. And so we're there by 11 and we're there till about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And then the girls come in to dance a little bit later that day.
Okay. So church and then the girls come in to dance and take off their clothes.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it just seems odd that they're using a place like that as a sacred space for Christians to gather. And here again, we need to talk about the marks of the church. If this was truly a church, then we would expect that we're going to hear the gospel, we're going to have the sacraments administered according to the gospel, that this is a sacred space now for Christians to gather to hear the word of Christ and to receive Christ's body and blood, which seems like an odd place to do this. One where if this was really such a great idea, maybe Christians would have been doing this for a while, but they haven't. So this is, kind of begs the question, where did Sharon Ninnebar get the idea to do this? And where did she get the idea to be the pastor for a place like this? And this is an important next clip because this talks about something to do with what evangelicals believe the Word of God is.
Tell me where it started. Where did this seed get planted?
Yeah, it is my dream and passion now.
Yes.
But you're right, it wasn't at all. Where did it start? very quickly, I've been married to a pastor for 26 years, and I was the pastor's wife, and I was happy in my role. In 2010, I felt a calling into ministry, and that was really strange to me because I thought, he's the pastor, God, not me. But I definitely felt a strong call in my life, which I had to kind of reconcile with.
And then you're thinking, like, what, am I going to go pastor a different church, or we pastor the same one?
I even was raised in a very traditional way, so I'm like, I'm a woman, God. Are you sure?
Are you sure? God, do you know what you're doing?
And I had to actually work through it, and I had to talk through it with my husband, who's very gracious, and he's always seen things in me. And he's like, yeah, like, he's always encouraged me in that. So in 2012, I was sitting innocently in a church in Elora visiting, and the pastor, I actually had this feeling that he was going to say something to me. And so I was like trying to avoid eye contact. Was it working? And he literally stopped. He had been ministering, and he stopped, and he pointed me out, and he spoke to me, and he started telling me things that I thought, wow, only God could have shared, you know, told him that. And then he said to me, something I'll never forget. He said, God is preparing to send you to a really dark place where the enemy wants to rule and reign, but he's going to give you all the, you know, he started listing different things, the authority, this and that, that you're going to need in that place. And I'm sitting there going, Africa? Like, literally, that's my first thought, because I have been to Africa. There's, you know, I was stunned. I thought, where is this place, God? I had never heard about the manor, didn't know about the manor, but I love how God prepares you in advance for things he's going to have you do.
Sometimes when God speaks, we think we know what it means. And then later we realize we really had our own interpretation of even what we thought God was saying.
Totally. Yeah. Like, hindsight really is 20/20.
Okay. There's a lot going on there, Chris. So I take it, just to kind of summarize it, She heard directly from God that she was supposed to become a pastor and then go and start a church in an active, ongoing strip club.
Yep, that's basically how the story goes. So this then really touches on an important aspect of one of the things that's going wrong in American evangelicalism today, not only in America, but also in Canada, and really in all of the churches in the West, and that is that they have another source of what they believe to be the Word of God that isn't the written Word of God. It's these feelings, it's these supposed direct revelations, which then begs the question, if you have a feeling that God is speaking to you and calling you to do something that his written word forbids, then you must believe that your feelings do not have their origin from God, but from another place. Let me give you an example. In the time that I've been doing vocational ministry, I actually had a gentleman that I have spoken with who literally informed me that he was going to be leaving his wife and marrying another woman because this other woman was his soulmate, and that God himself confirmed that this was the truth, and that was his justification for divorcing his wife, even though his wife had done nothing to deserve a divorce at all. And I had to inform this gentleman, that was not God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to you. That's your own sinful flesh or the devil. But that God would never tell you to do something that his word expressly forbids. So I think it's an interesting note that this church that's meeting in a strip club that's being pastored by a woman, all of this came about because this woman, she says she was raised in a traditional church environment and knew what God's word said, that God's word forbids women from actually holding the pastoral office. All of that, the written word of God, got trumped by a feeling that she had and some kind of so-called prophetic revelation. But God doesn't contradict himself. God doesn't lie, and God doesn't change. Why would God the Holy Spirit inspire the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy to expressly state that women are not to be an authority over men and to be pastors, and then, you know, in the 21st century, reveal to Sharon Ninibar that he was calling her into the pastoral office? That doesn't make any sense at all. So I think one of the interesting subtexts in all of this is that the reason why that there's a church meeting in an active strip club is because a woman was deceived into believing that she was receiving direct revelation from God when in fact she wasn't.
Okay, but she said she worked through it. You know, she said, I was raised, she essentially said, I was raised to believe differently about me being a pastor, And I really had to work through it. So, Chris, come on. She knew the Bible contradicted what she thought God was telling her to do, but she worked through it.
No, she didn't, because the text doesn't change. The text stays the same. You know, if she had really worked through it and said, well, I feel this, but God's word says this, therefore I have to bend the knee to God's word and not believe my feelings, then she would have properly worked through it. But in her working through it, she said, God's word says this, but I feel this. My feelings must be truer than the written word of God. Therefore, the written word of God can just be put aside. It's gone. We don't even need to listen to it anymore. That's not working through it. That's really basically setting it aside and putting in an authority structure your feelings above the written word of God, rather than making your thoughts and feelings submit and bend the knee to what God's word reveals there in the black and white.
Chris, before we let you go, you're going to be making the case for the means of grace at this year's Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference. Tell us a little bit about your presentation.
Sure. This is an exciting topic because the means of grace are the very thing that evangelicals are looking for. Many evangelicals are terrified by the fact that they have no certainty that they themselves are saved. And the thing that they're looking for when it comes to the assurance of the forgiveness of their sins and that God actually means well for them, because they have kind of bought into a very modern way of looking at the sacraments, that you know, it can't be God working through water. It can't be Christ present in with and under the bread and the wine. Therefore, they reject what Scripture says on these things. They are left then to go and make up their own means of grace. And so in my presentation, we will talk about some of the alternative means of grace that evangelicals have created in their quest to find some kind of certainty of their own salvation. But then we will then explore back and look at what God's word says regarding baptism, the Lord's Supper, as well as holy absolution as the means by which, you know, these are outside of us, that God gives us signs and assurance that we are forgiven and in him and have a right standing with him.
You can meet and hear Pastor Chris Roseborough at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June the 10th and Saturday, June the 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. That's about 15 miles east of St. Louis. Registration for the conference is $100 and includes three meals. You can find out more and register online at issuesetc.org or call Craig 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kotzebinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of an internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you again.
Thank you, Todd.
Be sure to listen to Chris right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. When we come back, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got the four soundbites all queued up, ready to go to play for you. And then you give us a call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and your votes will determine which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Stay tuned. Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Defend us from all evil and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at Grace Lutheran Racine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.